Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
I just now have the privilege of finishing our teaching series that we've been in, which is called Anointed. This will be the last message in this series before we start a new one next week. Have you enjoyed it, those that have been here?
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it. I think it's been really great. And the title of this thought then, I've not got long just to share it, just a few thoughts to bring this into land really. And it's this, it's Anointed in Babylon. Anointed in Babylon. And I wanted to look at the character of Daniel and see how God used him to change culture, to influence his world from the inside out. And I believe that all we have spoken about, all that we've covered in this Anointed series, it isn't just so that we can feel good about ourselves and think, oh, I'm anointed, great. It's so that we leave places like this to make a real difference in the world that we live and to change culture from the inside out. We're anointed for a purpose. It's not just for ourselves, is it? All that we've been speaking about is to go out and to make a difference. And this is exactly what we see the character of Daniel doing. So I wanted to look at who he was, what he did, and what we can apply to our lives. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Anointed in Babylon. So what we see in Daniel, the book of Daniel in the Bible, chapter 1, we see the moment where God's people are taken into captivity by the Babylonian Empire. Like it says that God handed them over to the Babylonians. And we read, so scholars will tell us that there's three reactions that they could have had. And one would be that they wanted to fight and resist their oppressors, to wage war against them, to overthrow them, think, no, we're going to fight you, we're not Babylonians, and to go to war. The other, and we would have known that they would have done this, was to just become a Babylonian. Now, this is it now. This is my life. And their practices would have become their practices, their gods would have become their gods. They would have spoken like Babylonians, dressed like Babylonians, and just to give in and give up and think, okay, I am a Babylonian now. That was the second one. Or the third, and this is what we see Daniel and his friends do in the book of Daniel, was to infiltrate, to change from within. It wasn't to fight and resist or to bury the head in the sand or to become a Babylonian, but it's to represent God in Babylon and to change the culture from the inside out. Now, if you studied the scripture and you see like the name of the Babylonian Empire went away, but Babylon didn't really go anywhere. So Babylon, representing like a kingdom that was against God, it's still here. So by the time Jesus comes, it's not the Babylonian Empire. Who's the ruling empire by the time Jesus comes? The Romans. That's right. And the same response that God's people would have had with the Babylonian Empire, they would have had with the Roman Empire. People were expecting Jesus to come and overthrow the Romans, weren't they? Like, you know, come as this conquering hero, just, you know, go to war against them, get rid of them. But Jesus doesn't say that. He kept saying things like, the kingdom of heaven isn't like that. The kingdom of heaven, he describes it like yeast in the dough. The kingdom of heaven is to infiltrate and to change from within. And today, you and I, as Christ followers, the responses can be the same. We could choose to resist, to throw off culture, to hate everything about the world that we live in and think, this is evil, this is wrong, I'm going to resist it. Or we could adopt it, blend in, have no difference in the way that we think or speak. Or, like Daniel did, we infiltrate and change from the inside out. And I believe that we are anointed, just like Daniel was anointed, to change our culture, to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We're in the world, not of the world, and we're called to change it. Amen?
Amen?
So let's look at what Daniel did. And I've got three things that we can observe about the person of Daniel that we can apply to our lives going forward from this Anointed series that I think is really going to help us. And there's some practical things in these points as well, just to apply, that's going to help us wherever you find yourself. If it's in your family, if it's in your workplace, your school, wherever you're at, these three things I believe are going to help us outwork some of the stuff that we've been talking about. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. The three observations about Daniel was this. He was one, he was sharp. Two, shredded. Three, he was steady. Okay, sharp, shredded, and steady. They all begin with S, so we'll never forget them. Okay, sharp, shredded, and steady. So we learn this in Daniel chapter 1. It says that The people that the Babylonians took into the king's service, they demonstrated all sorts of knowledge and an aptitude for all kinds of learning. So they were quick to understand. They were quick to learn and they were quick to understand. And how many of us know this, that so many battles are fought, won or lost in our mind, in how we think. And the challenge for me when we go out from this Anointed series is to think, okay, how am I thinking about myself, about the world as I see it? Talking about Zimbabwe, last year, Pastor Kennedy let me drive his truck, the new one that we bought. And I wasn't expecting to. It was nighttime, it was dark, and he just threw me the keys and said, there you go, enjoy it. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm driving, and Dad spoke about the terrain, and Kev, you were in the car, weren't you? We're driving, like, and I'm pretty nervous, and I came to a junction, and I turned into what I thought was going to be the lane, the road. See, this relays the confidence that you should have in my driving abilities. Turned into what I thought was the lane, and Kennedy just shouted, like, stop, where are you going? Because I was heading right for a ditch. I couldn't see it. There was no cat eyes, so I had no idea. So I slammed the brakes on. So that was a near miss. Just imagine that, all the money given. I ruined it. But I was heading towards this ditch, and thankfully he shouted, you know, and Kev caught some of that on video as well. But our thinking can become like these ditches that we can head into if we're not careful. And Romans 12 says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So how we think matters. And in the book of James, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God for it, and he'll give you generously. And I think the first thing we need to do going away from this series is, God, help me to think as you want me to think. God, I don't want to think selfishly. I don't want to get stuck in ruts of thinking where I think fearfully, where I get stuck in thoughts of lust or lack or what I don't have. God, give me the mind of Christ. Give me wisdom. So when I go out into the world, when I go out into Babylon, as it is, this kingdom that is not yours, I can live wisely and I can think how you want me to think, and I won't get trapped in patterns of thinking that aren't of you. God, change my thinking. Daniel was a sharp thinker. And God wants to anoint us. I love what Pastor Simon said yesterday. I'm not stupid, I'm anointed. This is nothing to do with our IQ. This is everything to do with the wisdom that God can give us through his Spirit. And every day we can pray, God, help my thoughts today to honor you. I don't want to conform to the patterns and the ideologies of this world, but I want to be transformed each and every day by the renewing of my mind. Help me to set my thoughts on you, Jesus, on how you want me to think, on how you want me to see my workplace, my colleagues, my family. And like, what kind of impact would that have on how we live and how we see the world? Daniel was a sharp thinker. We should be sharp thinkers too. Second, he was shredded. Now this isn't like, I don't know this theologically, if he had a six pack, but in my mind's eye, he did, okay? Because in Daniel chapter 1 as well, we see this, that all of the king's men, they would eat poor food, and Daniel didn't want to eat what they ate. He said, that's not good for me. And he said, give me 10 days. He said this to the leaders, give me 10 days to eat something healthy and see who looks better. And after that length of time, he was looking better, healthier, stronger, because his diet was different. Yeah. And if you and I are going to change culture from the inside out, bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, be a positive influence in the world that we live in, our diet needs to be different. Our diet needs to be distinct. We can't eat and consume what the world does. Now, I'm not talking, it's important to talk about that literally. I'm not talking literally now, I'm talking spiritually. What's the diet of our mind? What are we consuming every day? I challenge the young people with this often, but are we on TikTok more than we're in the Word of God? What are we consuming? What are we edifying ourselves with? Our diet changes how we look and how strong we are. Daniel was shredded, he was different, he was set apart because he decided, I'm going to eat differently. And it's a challenge for us, isn't it? If you were just to break down your day into what do you consume, what do you watch, what do you think about, who are you with, is it healthy? Each and every day we can make a choice. I want my diet to be different. I'm going to choose to consume things that are going to grow me spiritually, edify me, edify my thoughts, make me the person, the man, the woman of God that he's called me to be. Speaking of Thrive, last year we had a guest speaker called Meshach, and I spent time with him over those two camps that we did, and he's this amazing man of God. And I recognized that in certain areas of his life, in his journey of faith, he was stronger than me. Like, and I looked at him, I thought, like, how he thinks about God, how he hears the voice of God, like, I want that. And what it boiled down to was, he had a better diet than I did. it wasn't like he was a magic person with this amazing anointing that I could never attain. It's just that how he broke his day down and how he ate and fed himself and the time that he spent in God's presence, it was better than me. So I looked at that and I thought, I want to eat like he eats. Daniel was shredded. And if we're going to influence culture and change our schools for the better and change our workplaces for the better and bring this anointing into the world, into Babylon, we need to eat differently. Okay? So, sharp, shredded. And then lastly, he was steady. Okay? Steady. So like when Daniel is put into the king's service, most scholars would say that he's a teenager. So he's a young man, sort of 19 perhaps. And that's when we read that he had good understanding. That's when we read that he stood up and changed the diet of everyone. Everyone else changed the way they ate because of him. That's where we get the Daniel fast from. So he's a young man. Now, give me a wave if you've heard of Daniel in the Lion's Den, that story.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, most of us. Daniel in the Lion's Den, basically, in a nutshell, that's in Daniel chapter 6. So we skip forward a little bit in the story of Daniel and people. So Daniel shows success. He's really influential. He's given favor in Babylon. And like I'm talking about, he's changing culture for the better from the inside out, influencing like yeast in the dough. Daniel has that impact and some people don't like it. He's living for God. He's doing everything right. And yet he faces opposition. And I think that's an encouragement for some of us today, that we could be doing everything right. And sometimes, and again, this is what Pastor Simon shared so brilliantly yesterday, sometimes we're doing everything right, honoring God with our minds, with our time, with all of our resources, and yet still things go wrong.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's actually a sign that we're doing the right thing. If we're facing opposition and resistance, and that's exactly what happened with Daniel, because he's serving God, honoring God, praying 3 times a day, and people hated him for it. So they wanted to take him out. So sometimes it's okay if you're getting a bit of resistance on account of being a believer, showing you're doing the right thing, heading in the right direction, keep going. But the men don't like it. They set up a trap to try and undermine him. And the only thing that they could find, because he was so consistent, had such integrity, the only thing they could do to take him out was to change the law so that it was illegal to pray effectively. But he didn't stop praying. Prayed 3 times a day. So they throw him into the lion's den. And that's the story of the lion's den. So when Daniel is first entered into service, he's 19, decades then take place. So by the time he's thrown into the lion's den, most scholars think he's 80. So what a remarkable example of consistently serving God. So by the time he's 80, he's still praying 3 times a day. And let me just, I love what Mum shared about just the generations represented. Let me just encourage you, if you are still faithfully serving God after decades of doing so, we thank God for you, we honor you, we celebrate you today. Thank you for your example, because you show us, like characters such as Daniel show us, the power of being consistent, faithfully serving God for generations, decade after decade. He was steady, like never underestimate the impact that just consistency can have. One last story on this. So from Zimbabwe, we spoke about the goat projects. And oftentimes, that where those projects will start, it's not with a goat, it's with the chicken. And these like beautiful people in these like tough environments, they have something so small, and they were talking to us about what needs to change first and foremost. It's their thinking about what they have, because they have to battle this idea that, well, I'm poor and I'm always going to be poor, and what I've got, it's nothing and it can't do anything and it won't achieve anything. They have to change that mindset first and foremost, and then just be consistent with it and allow one chicken to grow up to a few chickens, and then those chickens to be sold to get a goat, and then those to be sold for more goats, and then you can own property, and just to see the transformation that can consistency can bring. It was so inspirational. And we have so much, and we've got so much to be thankful for and so much to be grateful for. And sometimes all that God requires of us when we don't know what to do is just to be faithful. Never underestimate the impact that consistently loving your colleagues will have. Sometimes we don't feel like we get any progress with them, do we? Sometimes it feels like we're just like hitting our head against a brick wall. But if you can keep turning up, keep doing a good job, keep loving, keep praying, keep believing, keep speaking the best over those in your world around you, watch as God uses your faithfulness to bring about his kingdom on earth and to change culture from within, from the inside out. So Jesus doesn't say, so he tells the story of what to do with what we have, the parable of the talents. And those that took what they had and did their best with it, regardless of if it was 5 or 10 that they ended up with, what does he say to them? He doesn't say, well done, good and, you know, rich servant. He doesn't say, well done, good and innovative servant. Well done, good and good-looking servant. Well done, good and popular servant. Well done, good and famous servant. What does he say? Well done, good and faithful servant. And God has anointed us to change the world that we live in. Anointed in Babylon. And he's called us to think differently, to eat differently, and to be consistent with what we have, and to watch as he does the rest. Amen? So Daniel, he was sharp, he was shredded, and he was steady. And these are a few things I'm just going to leave us with to think about. Like, how am I thinking? How am I eating? How am I living each day? And allow God to use those things to help us change the world that we live in. In a moment, we're going to land this, and I'm going to invite Pastor Simon to come up, and he's going to pray a prayer of anointing. But before we get there, we do this every Sunday. I just wanted to give an opportunity for everyone in the room to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So maybe this is a prayer that you've prayed before, a long time ago, but for whatever reason, you know today you're not right with God. Today you can make a decision to come back to God, to put your life right with him. Or this could be the first time you've ever prayed a prayer like this. Today could be the day that you become a Christian to receive forgiveness of your sins. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, those that are in Christ are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. You can be a new creation today. Have your sins forgiven and receive the gift of salvation and eternal life in Jesus Christ. So we're going to have a moment. And if you're watching online, you can do this as well. We're going to have a moment where I'm just going to extend that invitation to each and every one of us. So if you want to bow your head, close your eyes. This is between you and God. If you know you are not right with God today, and you want to make a decision to give your life to him, very simply, after the count of three, I'm going to ask you, put your hand up so I know who I'm praying for. Then I'm just going to pray for you, and you can do this at home or wherever you're watching from as well. So if you want to give your life to Jesus today and become a Christian, after the count of three, just slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. 1, 2, 3. Amen. That's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you that it's by your death and resurrection that we can know freedom from our sins, we can know forgiveness and eternal life. And Lord, for anyone that made that decision in that moment, we thank you that in that moment of belief, they are a child of God. The old has gone and the new has come. So Jesus, we thank you for your grace and that gift that is freely given to us. And we will continually preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and see more and more people won for you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and said, yeah, that's me, I want to give my life to Jesus today, we've got a wonderful team. Some will have red lanyards on, and they'd love just to help you process what that means and how to take the next step in your faith as well. So come and see us at the end, or talk to the person that you came with about that decision. Online, you can click the link that should hopefully be in the chat now or in the description about how you can take that next step in your faith as well. Going to invite Pastor Simon to come up and close the service in prayer.
Fabulous. Can we show some appreciation to Nathan? I want to finish today praying a prayer of anointing over you. Would you stand with me, please? Now, this is a prayer we learnt yesterday. And it goes like this. Can we all pray it together? All right, so either put your hands as if you were receiving in a bowl shape, ready to receive, or put your hand on your heart, like, God, I'm going to pray that you will anoint me. Are you ready? Let's say it together. Father God, I am your servant and you have anointed me. I ask for your blessing so I can bless others. I ask you to expand my world so I can add value to those who are in need of your help. Let your hand rest on me and your presence guide me. And I ask for your protection. Keep me from harm. I choose to live in your anointing. I step out of my past and into your future plans for me. Amen. Father, I speak blessing over you, this congregation. I speak peace. I speak a forgiveness that comes from heaven. I speak a joy. And where there are arguments, will you bring peace? Where there is pain, will you bring love? Will you bring your joy and your peace and your love to these people? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant day and the best week ever. God bless you, and I'll see you soon. See you next week. God bless.